This is everybody's second favorite Torah portion. Everybody's favorite Torah portion is the one with all the bodily discharges. This is a close second. To get everybody up to speed, most of you have heard this before. In Judaism, they are of the opinion that biblical leprosy is caused by antisocial behavior, gossiping, stinginess, pride, etc. It is not the same thing as Hansen's disease. That's the disease that is called today leprosy, which causes body parts to fall off. That's a bacterial infection, is entirely different. I was reading Rabbi Sacks last night, and he wrote my sermon for me almost. The name of his article was Words That Heal. And he was talking about a movie that I have not yet seen, but I think I will see tonight, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, starring Tom Hanks. And it's about Mr. Rogers. The reviewer said that the film is a perfectly pitched and played ode to goodness. Part of the plot of the story is there's this reporter who is known as kind of a cynic, got a real bad relationship with his father, and he gets an assignment from a magazine to go out and interview 10 people who are heroic. And one of the people that was chosen was Mr. Rogers. Everybody else refused the interview because they didn't want to talk to this guy because they expected that he would be cynical in his interview and would sort of trash him. Mr. Rogers was the only guy that agreed to the interview. And Sacks quotes from one of the scenes. The journalist says, "You love people like me?" Fred Rogers, "What are people like you? I've never met anyone like you in my entire life." Journalist, "Broken people." Fred Rogers, "I don't think you're broken. I know you're a man of conviction, a person who knows the difference between what is wrong and what is right. Try to remember that your relationship with your father also helped shape those parts. He helps you become what you are." This is actually based on a true story. The journalist was a guy named Tom Junod. I have no idea who he was. And Junod said later, he went there to mock. In other words, he went to the interview intending to mock the goody-two-shoes Fred Rogers who talks to children and so forth. And he sat through a production, you know, with all the little stuff that they have. But his quote was about the experience. "What is grace? I'm not certain. All I know is that my heart felt like a spike. And then in that room, it opened and felt like an umbrella." Sacks's whole point is words have that kind of power. They have that kind of power for good or for evil. And for those of you who have been around a long time, you recognize that during the common prayer time, my standard prayer is that God would bless our conversation. And that's the reason. Now, Sacks goes on to talk about Judaism, and his comment is, it is a religion of words. There are no images. Now, Israel has periodically gone badly astray and gone into idol worship, and when that happens, God sends them into exile. And Sacks's comment was, the only thing they take with them into exile is the Torah. Just the words. And they're reminded in Deuteronomy that when God spoke to them, they didn't see any image. In fact, I'll read it. It's in Deuteronomy 4, starting in verse 10. "The Lord said to me, gather the people to me that I might let them hear my words." This is Moses recounting the events afterwards. The events happened back in Exodus. This is Moses retelling them. "So the Lord said to me, gather the people to me that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, that they may teach their children so. And you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, while the mountain burned with fire to the heart of heaven, wrapped in darkness, cloud, and gloom. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but you saw no form. There was only a voice." And of course, the number one commandment in Judaism is the Shema, which means listen. So the idea of listening is woven throughout all of Judaism. And by the way, it should be that way in Christianity as well. When Judaism hit the Greek world in the person of the apostles, and lots of pagans came in and were baptized and so forth, lots of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Lots of them didn't check their paganism at the door. And they brought images in with them and so forth. So you've got images and icons and statues and all that kind of stuff all throughout Christianity, which is not biblical at all. Everything is information. Everything is words. It was all created with words. Beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, God said, God said, and there was. Everything is information. And by the way, lest people think that, well, that's Old Testament, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, the Word, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So, beginning of John, the beginning of Genesis. Everything is information. Now, we are unique in God's universe, so far as we know. I mean, we're confined to this one little planet, and there may be other planets too, but as far as we know, we're unique in that we are able to add information to God's universe. That's what you do when you speak. You're adding information. You are bringing new stuff into existence. Now, is that important? Well, yeah, I think so. Does Yeshua say it's important? Well, yeah, actually he does. So Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person, out of his good treasure, brings forth good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Moses says that what you say is important. Yeshua says that what you say is important. Everything is made out of words. So the whole point of this particular Torah portion is when your words become destructive of other people and destructive of community, what God does in the Torah is He marks you as this person is toxic. And what they do is they put you outside of the camp. Now, we didn't read it today. We'll read it next week. There's a progression. Next week, we'll read about the leprous house, where your house gets leprosy. Today, we read about the leprous garment. And then we read about the leprous person. And again, the way the rabbis describe it is, if you are toxic, it starts with your house. And if you don't get the message there, it moves on to your garments, stuff you're wearing. If you still don't get the message, then it comes to your skin. And one of the things that you should notice if you were paying very close attention as you were reading the details, when leprosy starts on a person, he is unclean and he's put outside the camp. If the leprosy progresses to the point where his entire body is covered, then he's clean and let back in the camp. Then when he starts to heal, he's unclean again and he goes back outside the camp. So we're not talking about a bacterial disease. We are not talking about a virus. We are not talking about any normal communicable disease here. We're talking about something spiritual. And the rabbis say about this guy who is completely infested with it, the idea there is, in God's mercy, he brings him back inside the camp so we won't completely lose hope. But he is still marked as toxic. So people can avoid him because his words and his actions are toxic. So, read an article this week, and I didn't even think about it until I was putting this together, and it was like, duh. And it was called The Space Between the Words. Most of us, when we're in a conversation, only pause our conversation to reload. You've all been arguing with people and they aren't hearing a word you've said. They're just reloading and they're coming back at you again. Judaism and Christianity should be a religion of silence. Remember I said the highest commandment in Judaism is Shema, listen. And you can't listen if you're talking. This article on the space between the words, secular article, didn't have anything to do with religion, was saying that the space between the words is every bit as important as the words are. Because the space between the words gives you time to think, gives you time to listen, gives you time to reflect on what's going on. Let me back up a second. Judaism has been doing this for a long time. They have a literature on what they call the laws of proper speech. And they've gone through and studied it, and things that you wouldn't think are damaging can be. And so they go through there and they write all this stuff down and tell you why some things that you might not think are damaging could be, which is to say, before you say this, think about it. Think about your audience, think about the group you're in, and consider what something that you're going to say that you don't think is harmful may in fact be harmful. And so it's something that's taught, and in that sense it's important. Proverbs. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Also Proverbs 26:22. And by the way, this proverb is in Proverbs twice in two different places. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Which is to say, when you listen to evil speech, it goes down into your body. They taste good when they go into your body, but they work destruction on you. They change you. You yourself become toxic over time. So when there is Lashon Hara going on, there's four bodies that are damaged. The one who is speaking is, of course, damaged, but he's speaking because he is damaged. The one who listens to it is also damaged because he's taking those words inside of himself, and those are toxic words. Remember, everything is information. If you take toxic stuff into you, you will eventually become toxic. The third one who is damaged is the one who is spoken about. His reputation is damaged. And the fourth one that is damaged is the community. Because what happens is you sow distrust and dissent within the community when this stuff gets going. There's a difference, by the way, between Lashon Hara and slander. Two different things. Slander is evil words that are false. Lashon Hara is evil words that are true. So if you say something negative about somebody that is true, what you've done is you have committed Lashon Hara. If you say something negative about somebody that is false, you have committed slander. Don't do either one of them, understand? But understand the difference between the two of them. They're different things. And of course, the root of Lashon Hara is pride. You think that you are somehow entitled or better than someone that you can tear them down. Or you're trying to tear someone down to bring them down to your level or whatever, but it's all pride. And I'll close with this one. Sachs talked about at the end of his article, and I'll actually read what he said in a minute. Social media. Social media is mostly toxic. And the reason it is toxic is because the space between the words is missing. Now, what do I mean by that? When I'm talking to somebody and I say something that the person either takes the wrong way or whatever, I can see a reaction. And I have this human connection that I can, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that that was sensitive. I apologize, I didn't mean to say that. That feedback is missing on social media. So what happens is you have people who sit back in the anonymity of their keyboard and they let all of this stuff fly into the ether and they damage people. And of course, the people that they damage then turn around and come back with fangs bared and everybody is at everybody's throat. Social media is what I would call a pseudo community. Lots of people think it's a community, but it's not. And what the difference is between a healthy community and a pseudo community is a healthy community is based on guilt. A pseudo community is based on shame. When I do something wrong and I realize I have done something wrong internally, I have a sense of guilt. And I try and make it right as best I can. That's healthy, realizing that I have done something wrong and feeling guilty about it, and then doing my best to make it right or confess or whatever I need to do to get right, either with the person I've injured or with God. Guilt is healthy because it keeps you on the path. Shame, on the other hand, is external. And that's where everybody points at you and says, oh, look at him. Oh, he said the wrong thing. Oh, he has the wrong opinions. Oh, she dresses in the wrong outfit, etc. That's shame. That's external. In a shame-based society, what you're doing is you are acting to avoid being shamed as opposed to acting to avoid feeling guilty according to the standards that you know. Social media is a shame-based society. And for people who, I'm sad to say, that is most of their community, they are absolutely terrified that somebody is going to shame them and they're going to become a non-person. And that, again, is damaging information. Remember, it's all just words. Everything is just information. So let me close with Rabbi Sacks and his comment on there. I believe that we need the laws of Lashon Hara as rarely before. The social media are awash with hate. The language of politics has become ad hominem and vile. We seem to have forgotten what Tazria Metzora, Tazria is leprosy, Metzora is the leper. Tazria Metzora are meant to remind us that evil speech is a plague. It destroys relationships, rides roughshod over people's feelings, debases the public square, turns politics into a jousting match between competing egos, and defiles all that is sacred about our common life. It need not be like this. So, as I say, it's all information, and I don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing that we don't have biblical leprosy anymore. I go back and forth on that one. And of course, the problem with not having it, if we had biblical leprosy today, there is no way to get clean, because we have no priesthood, we have no temple, all that kind of stuff. So I'm sure God in his mercy took that away. But having said that, speech, words, ideas are the thing that everything is made from. You have the rare and unique privilege of being able to add information to God's creation. Use it wisely.